about that. Many of you are aware that after the recent loss of my father, my friend, my hero, this last month, it's been a little bit of a struggle for me of late. Added up the percentages. My father and I have lived together under the same roof for 65% of my life. It's a long time. And I miss him dearly. So I've been kind of under a struggle. And I've been missing some things. But I was excited this week because I have experienced something that I had not experienced in about 6-7 weeks. I was driving over to Conroe to meet my sisters. I actually began when we finally received the death certificates in, and I was driving to meet them to give them the death certificates. My sister is the executor, and I had to get them to her so she could take care of business. And then I went over to the rehab place where Dad was the last week of his life. I just wanted to go over there and express my appreciation to them. You know, a lot of times in a professional setting, what you hear when people make comments and want to voice something, it's usually of a negative nature, you know? And I wanted to be faithful to let them know that I dearly appreciated the work and the service that they provided and the manner in which they provided it. And I wanted to sit down. I met with two directors and had an opportunity to tell them, just give them some stories about some of the good things that are experienced. Anyway, in my trip over there and back, I got a download. Like I hadn't had in about 7 weeks or so. Because it happens to me. And I just, it's come so fast that I can't take it all in. And I've, when it does, I'm talking about a download from the Spirit. And so I just have to sit down and just start writing. And it makes no sense. And I have to try to make sense of it later. Okay. Well, I was driving. I was like, Lord, you got to have to help me remember this later. And sure enough, he did. And but I had been in a funk. Okay. And I've been struggling to get messages together and all that. So I'm excited about this. So, first and foremost, I make absolutely, unequivocally, no apologies for anything this morning. Do I need to say it again? Okay. You get upset, you can get happy in the same breaches you got upset in. And if you don't like it, you can take it up with somebody else. Acts chapter 24, Paul is standing trial before Felix, who's kind of like a governor of the area up there, and he's standing before, he's the governor, and he's standing there, he's about to face several trials before several different people, Felix, Festus, bunch of people. But Felix is this kind of guy. He's actually married to a Jewess, a lady Jew. And he's standing there, going to be before Felix. And Felix, you know, he kind of has an interest in some things that Paul wants to, he wants to hear some things that Paul has to say. And so we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 24, beginning in verse 22. I'm just going to read a small section of this. Beginning in verse 22 of chapter 24 of Acts, he says, then Felix, who was well informed about the way is code term for the Christians, okay? The way, that's what they called them there at the beginning, the way. He was well informed about the way. He knew that the way, the Christians, he knew that they were not troublemakers. They were peaceful people. They weren't starting riots. They weren't doing all this stuff that a lot of the Jews were saying they were doing, and a lot of the Romans say they were doing. They weren't troublemakers. Okay, he was well informed about the way that they were a peaceful people. He was well informed about the way. He adjourned the hearing and said, "When Lysias, the commander, comes, I will decide your case." Speaking to Paul. He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to allow him some freedom and permit his friends to minister to his needs. After several days, Felix returned with his wife, Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. Interesting. Okay? Felix had an interest, and he listened. Did you get that? He listened to him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. He was interested, and he wanted to listen to Paul speak about faith in Christ Jesus. How many of you like to listen to people speak about faith in Christ Jesus? Okay, that's good. Verse 25, as Paul expounded on righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment, Felix became frightened and said, "You may go for now. When I find the time, I will call for you." One of the versions I read in said, "When I find a more convenient time, I will send for you. When I feel like hearing this kind of stuff, I'll let you know. I don't mind hearing about faith in Jesus, but if you're talking about righteousness and self-control, I don't want to hear that." Felix was well informed about the way. And I'm just going to tell you straight up, being well informed doesn't mean squat if you only listen to what you want to hear. He was well informed and he listened to him talk about faith in Christ. But when Paul started expounding on righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment, Felix got scared, dismissed Paul, and said, "I'll call you when I have a more opportune time." And listen, too many Christians are ready to listen to the parts about God's forgiveness, about His unending love, about His sacrifice and His patience and His comfort and His provision and His healing, but shut down when it comes to real life change issues, such as righteousness or repentance or holy living. You see, we want God's forgiveness, but we don't want to forgive others. We want forgiveness for what we've done, for what we've just done, but we have no intention to stop doing it again in the future. "God, I feel bad about what I've just done because I don't want you to hold it against me. Please forgive me. Forgive me for this time, and because I want to do it again with a clean slate." You look at me like as if, "How dare you say that, preacher?" Who in their right mind would ever think such a thought? That's exactly right. Who in their right mind would ever think such a thought? The problem is, we ain't in our right minds half the time. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we could all put on the shirt that said, "Been there, done that." So we close our ears. We become Felix. "Oh, hang on a minute. Now you're stepping on my toes. I don't want to hear that part." We hear what we want to hear, and we ignore what we don't really like. And if this is ever true of you, let me just tell you, you don't have a good enough grasp of who God is. Understand, we cannot fully grasp who God is, but we can have a good enough grasp of an understanding that will change our lives. And until we have that encounter, until we grasp what we can of who God is, we will continue to be the authority in our lives and determine what goes and what does not go. We are the authority in our lives as long as we decide what goes and what does not go. We are the authority when we say, I'll call you when I have a more opportune time. When I feel like hearing that stuff, I'll let you know. When I really feel like changing that part of my life, I'll call you. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them open. And listen, if you don't have a Bible, there's one in the chair in front of you, underneath the chair in front of you. And if you don't own a Bible, I will put one in your hands free of charge. You see me after church, I will put one in your hands free of charge. There's nothing greater that we can do than to put the Word of God in people's hands. Okay? I've got some in my office, and I will put one in your hands free of charge. All you have to do is come up to me and say, Brother Mike, I need a copy of God's Word. It's that simple. And if I run out, guess what? I'll go buy more. It's not a problem. And if I don't have the money, I'll go scrounge and beg and borrow. And I may not steal, but I'll come close to it just to get copies of God's Word to put in your hands. Okay? Surely there's somebody in this room that would help me go get more copies of God's Word if we run out and I can't buy some. Right? There we go. We will put copies of God's words in people's hands. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. We kind of sang a little bit about this while ago. And bear with me, my voice is kind of fading out on me. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, this is Isaiah speaking, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they were covering their faces. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. This is what Isaiah said, Woe to me, for I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, and he took which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I. Send me. You see, when Isaiah saw the Lord, he was undone. He knew right then and there who he was. Did you get that? In the presence of God Almighty, he knew who he was. He was undone. He said, I am unclean. Woe is me. I'm unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. and yet I've seen the Almighty God. He saw the glory and the majesty of the Lord, and he was ruined. He was undone. And he recognized his lowly condition in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And folks, listen. Until we understand that in a profound manner, we will retain authority and God will never be Lord of our lives. I just got to tell you straight up. Until we recognize God for who he is and us for who we are in his presence, we will never see God high and lifted up. We will never see him as the King of Kings. We will never see him as the supreme authority in our lives. Let me tell you something. There are two categories. Haskell mentioned this the other night. There is the Creator, and then there is the created. Let me tell you something. God is in a category all to his own. He is the only one in the category of creator. Not even Satan is in the category of creator. He's in the category of created. God is in a category all to himself. All by himself. None other. There is none beside him, none before him. There will be none after him. He is exalted. Seated high. Exalted high. Seated on his throne. Until we recognize and see him as the supreme authority in our lives, we will remain as Felix, having the authority to say, yes, I will hear this. No, I will not hear that. That means you're still the boss. That means you've not surrendered your life. And if you've not surrendered your life, he is not King of Kings and Lord of Lords to you. And if he's not King of Kings and Lord of Lords to you, folks, you've got some serious issues. You've not surrendered your life. And if you've not surrendered your life, let me tell you something. You've got bigger problems to worry about. You've got an eternity to worry about. But let me tell you this, there's hope. When you have your woe is me encounter and you realize just who you are in comparison to God and you allow him to cleanse you as only God can, you will find that your response will be, here am I, send me. And let me point something out. Before you even know what the assignment is, did you catch that? Did you catch that? God said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. He didn't even ask what the assignment was. Did you get that? God didn't explain what the task was. He didn't explain what the assignment was. He just said, who will go for us and whom shall we send? Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And then God tells him what the task was. That's obedience. That is surrender. Too many times we want to say, well, okay, I might be willing. Let's discuss the plan. Let's discuss the details. And I'll let you know if I'm interested. Who has authority? Who has authority? That's Felix. Well, let me hear it first, and I'll let you know if I'm interested. Isaiah said, I'll go, whatever it is. That's what it means to turn your life over to God. That's what it means when he has authority in your life. Folks, two men from the Bible today. Felix and Isaiah. Which one are you most like today? Which one would you like to be most like today? Which one does God desire for for you to be most like today? And my final question is, what is holding you back? What is holding you back from diving full and completely in today? I don't know what the answer is for you. I just know that whatever it is, you need to sort it out. Because if there is something that's holding you back, it's not justified in God's eyes. It's not justified in God's eyes. Relationship, time, resources, habits, lifestyles, you name it. God says, are you mine or are you not? Plain and simple. Are you surrendering to me or are you retaining authority in your life? You can't have it both ways. Either you're mine or you're yours. And I don't do partial ownership. I don't do partial ownership. Either you're all mine or you're all yours. Decide. I'm going to let you make the choice, God says. But a choice has to be made. A choice has to be made. And there comes a point when time runs out. I'm just not going to tell you when that time is. Felix or Isaiah? What say you? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word that is so clear that it literally leaves no gray areas. That it leaves no matter of opinion. Your word is true and it is faithful. And then we don't really need to expound on the word. The scripture says what needs to be said. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that the best sermon that could ever be preached is to read the word of God. Lord, I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for your people. I thank you for these that are here today. I thank you for your love and for your mercy and your grace. Yes. Lord, we thank you for those things. But Lord, we also thank you for your justice. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you that you are firm. And Lord, that you make it very simple, really. You don't make it complicated for us. That you remind us, like Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, let us make that decision today. Let us decide who we're going to serve, ourselves or the Lord. Let's not beat around the bush with it. Let's decide today. And let's make a stake and let's stand on it. Time for wishy-washy. swaying back and forth is done. It's been done. Lord, let us stand firm. Give us the strength, the fortitude, and the determination to stand firm, to surrender. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.